On July the 7th, President Trump sat down for a highly anticipated meeting with Russia's President Vladimir Putin at the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. But last night, it was disclosed that there was a second lengthy conversation later that day between the two leaders, one that the White House had not spoken of at the time. Nick Schifrin reports.
It was a three-hour dinner party for the world's most powerful people, 20 leaders and their spouses. On the menu, turbo fish filet, Frisian beef cheeks, and chit-chat. President Trump worked the room and then took a seat. Diagonally across the table, First Lady Melania Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. The two talked to each other with the help of Putin's translator. And as a dessert of raspberries and cheese was served, Mr. Trump walked over to Putin. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders today called their talk brief and informal.
To try to create that there was some sort of private conversation in a room with 40-plus people seems a little bit ridiculous.
Nick Burns is a former U.S. ambassador to NATO and veteran diplomat who participated in dozens of U.S.-Russia meetings.
This is not a bad thing. Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump are the two most powerful people in the world. They barely know each other. They'd only met once before this G20 dinner. And it's really important that they get to know each other and develop some capacity to have an effective relationship.
Last night, Trump blasted the media coverage, tweeting, "Fake news story of secret dinner with Putin is sick." The pro-Kremlin Russian lawmaker Alexei Pushkov used the exact same language, describing reports about a, quote, secret dinner as sick. And today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel's spokesman called these dinner conversations normal.
It is the fundamental point of the G20 meeting that, alongside working meetings, there is room and opportunity for multiple informal contacts, and that is certainly the point of such a dinner.
But what is unusual is that since there were no other U.S. officials present and the translator was Putin's, the U.S. officials who work on Russia have no official notes.
The people down the line cannot do their job if they don't have an exact sense of what our president said, what the other guy said, and how they can then pursue these issues with the Russian government.
The dinner talk came on the same day as Trump and Putin's only official meeting. That talk lasted more than 2 hours. The next day, having spoken with Trump at least twice, Putin praised Trump personally.
As for personal relations, I think that they've been established. I don't know how this will sound, but I'll say it how I see it. The Trump on television is very different from the real person. He's very direct. He perceives his conversation partner very well. He's a fairly quick thinker.
It is that kind of praise that many here in Washington find strange and concerning. Multiple administration officials tell the NewsHour they've still not received a report from the official Trump-Putin meeting, let alone the dinner conversation. That is not business as usual.
President Trump has put together, I think, the weakest policy on Russia in 70 years. It's why you've seen so many people concerned by this one conversation. What did President Trump say to President Putin? People in our government need to know the answer to those questions, and we as citizens need those answers as well.
A dinnertime conversation might not be out of the ordinary, except the president's 2016 campaign is under investigation for possibly colluding with Russia, and the man he was talking to is accused by U.S. intelligence of ordering the covert effort to help get Trump elected. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin in Washington.
Late today, the Senate Judiciary Committee said that Donald Trump Jr. and former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort will testify next Wednesday about their meeting with a Russian lawyer last summer. The president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, goes before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Monday.